This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour space shuttle shuffle. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tacoma to Tennessee, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, okay.
We got a good show coming up for you this morning. Very excited. Sonia Richards-Ross is going to join us here on the show. She is an Olympic gold medalist runner for the U.S. She is the wife of former NFL corner Aaron Ross. She has got a lot of amazing athletic achievements underneath her belt on her resume. So she'll join us coming up in studio in about an hour from now. And remember, you can always watch the broadcast, especially when we have in-studio guests, by going to watchda.com. Is Robert Horry out of his mind? DA's brilliant hockey mind. And it's a Trash Tuesday, so anything that you want to trash, get prepared and get ready. That's coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. 855-212-4CBS is that phone number. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Yesterday, Doug Baldwin joined Tiki and Bogish here on CBS Sports Radio. Our friend Andrew Bogish, who handles updates, of course, here on this show and in the mornings, in for Brandon Tierney. So that was also on the CBS Sports Network televised. And it was interesting because yesterday we learned that Austin Davis was signed as Russell Wilson's backup. Austin Davis instead of Colin Kaepernick, which, of course, opened up another new can of worms on why hasn't anybody signed Colin Kaepernick when a bum like Austin Davis is now off the market.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed. He's a bum.
And the guys asked Doug Baldwin, Seahawks wide receiver, if it had anything to do with the theory that was floated a couple of days ago and that kind of piggybacked off of that ESPN The Magazine article about Richard Sherman resenting Russell Wilson in the offense and a division, a schism in between the defense and the offense in Seattle. The idea that the Seahawks did not sign Colin Kaepernick and would rather go with Austin Davis because they'd rather not have competition for Russell Wilson. They are protecting Russell Wilson. To where we begin, it's your cold open.
That's not our philosophy.
Yeah, right.
That's absolutely not our philosophy. Our philosophy with the Seahawks is we're going to compete. It doesn't matter if you're the last guy on the roster trying to make the team or if you're the starting quarterback, you're going to compete. And I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking for guys that are willing to do that. You know, not to say that Colin wasn't. I just think that whatever the fit was, we really don't have enough money, honestly. We're not under the cap enough to afford Colin. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think the overall riding factor on it is just, we don't have a lot of money, and Colin Kaepernick would have been an excellent addition to our team.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Doug Baldwin in big, bright letters, quote, "We don't have a lot of money."
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Doug Baldwin, capologist, Seattle Seahawks, quote, "We don't have a lot of money." So, as I always try to remind everybody when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, it's important to remove the emotion out of this and just speak in fact, because Kaepernick's protest for the national anthem forces a lot of people to speak out of emotion. And when you speak out of emotion, it can oftentimes be irrational, not sensible, and not logical. When we talk about a black ball situation, a blacklist situation for a guy like Colin Kaepernick, the idea is there's an internal memo that goes around the NFL where there is an unspoken idea: do not sign this guy. He's bad for business. It's like a collusion situation. A black ball would suggest the league is saying, don't do it. It's bad for our brand. And that's not the case. There is not some internal memo going around the NFL. There is not some 32 owners colluding. Do not sign Colin Kaepernick. Each owner is going to be allowed to decide that on his own accord. General manager obviously in the mix on that. And there are some that have decided it's not worth it to go down the road of Colin Kaepernick because of backlash. And that is obvious. There are some. There are some general managers and owners that will withstand the backlash, but I think money is probably also a part of this. Then Colin Kaepernick doesn't view himself as a $750,000 bare minimum quarterback in this league where Austin Davis has to take whatever he can get because Austin Davis is a hold snapper.
Hold snapper and third string quarterback.
He's not good. He's not Colin Kaepernick. And once you get wrapped up in the emotion because you don't like Kaepernick's stance with the national anthem, that's when we get silliness like, well, he can't learn the playbook. Well, he's not a natural leader. Well, he's not a pocket passer. I mean, give me a break. If you are just taking emotion out of this and whatever you think about the national anthem protest and toss it out the window, when you put Colin Kaepernick next to Austin Davis, you realize it's a no-brainer. Colin Kaepernick's a better option at quarterback. If your guy goes down, if Russell Wilson gets injured in week two, do you want Austin Davis steering the ship for a team trying to get to the playoffs, or would you rather have Colin Kaepernick? You'd rather have Kaepernick every single day of the week. And that goes with the signings of guys like Blaine Gabbert and other bozos. You'd rather have Kaepernick from a football standpoint. So throw all that other stuff out of there that people use to rationalize their dislike about his protest. And what they would like is this kind of karmic comeuppance. And that happens here too, where people feel like Kaepernick deserves to get tossed out the side. He deserves to get trashed on by the NFL. He deserves to not have a job because you don't like what he stands for. But the reality is, this is probably about money when it comes to the Seattle Seahawks. And I also believe there's probably a part of this where they are a little worried about competition with Russell Wilson, because that article, that column done in ESPN the magazine by Seth Wickersham, Wickersham is above reproach. I mean, the guy is one of the best reporters down the middle that we have in sports. And this was a really full-fledged, full-bodied column. This wasn't about clicks. This wasn't about a blog post. This wasn't about saying something fiery. It wasn't a hot take. This was a real in-depth look at the dynamic inside that Seahawks locker room. And the more that you look inside of it, the more that it makes a lot of sense that Pete Carroll is kind of putting a cocoon around Russell Wilson. And if you bring Kaepernick in, Kaepernick is a very polarizing guy that also can be dynamic at times. And if Russell Wilson does have a little resentment baked into that locker room because he's been protected or because Pete Carroll doesn't go after him as hard as he goes after the defense. If some of the defense resents Russell Wilson's celebrity, or maybe they resent it. Here's an interesting piece of this, that Russell Wilson feels inauthentic a lot of times. It feels like he goes to the microphone with a script of what to say, and then he says it without really ever knowing who Russell Wilson is. That was another part of this article, that some of the Seahawks feel like they don't really know who he is. I mean, when he married Ciara, it almost felt like this was a pre-arranged celebrity bit where I get your celebrity, you get my celebrity. Together we have 2 + 2 = 4 celebrity. You'll get to be at the Nickelodeon Choice Awards. I'll get to go to the Grammys. You know, there's this piece of it. I want everybody to know we're not having sex before we get married. There was an artificiality somehow for Russell Wilson, a lot of what he has done in his life. And it would make sense if the Seahawks go, hey, we don't need maybe Colin Kaepernick being a more popular guy in this locker room. I mean, remember, the Seahawks were one of the teams that had guys that stood in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. I think it's probably twofold. It's probably what Doug Baldwin's talking about, a money situation where they've got all of these guys up against the cap. They don't have a ton of free money to spend on a backup quarterback. And probably Colin Kaepernick, at the very least, wants a lot of incentives. And maybe they don't have that. But you probably get it done if you need to get it done. Because in the NFL, guys can get real creative with the cap. Okay, there's not a lot of times where teams that really want somebody can't keep them. They can get creative. But there's also, I'm guessing, a piece of this where they are a little worried about Russell Wilson's popularity inside the locker room, protecting him a little bit, and making sure they don't kind of create a dust storm where there isn't one. So I think there's probably both parts of that. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Abe is in Detroit, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1270. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, DA. Do me a favor, beat me up!
You know it! What you got, buddy?
Colin Kaepernick, this whole situation to me reminds me a lot of Ray Rice. Obviously, very different situations. And I don't think they're being blackballed. I think it's a risk versus reward situation. Both players have shown at one point in their careers they've had talent. Obviously, they've both had these off-field issues, very different issues, but off-field issues that's going to bring a media circus along with it. And if you sign a guy like Colin Kaepernick, it's going to be similar in the sense where you're going to get all this media around it and not for football reasons. And most organizations don't want that when this guy is not even going to be playing on the field. Kind of like when the Jets signed Tim Tebow and they had a press conference for a backup quarterback. Absolutely ridiculous. And I think it would be a very similar situation.
I think that's a fair comparison, although I would say I don't think teams are worried about the media backlash. I think they're worried about fan backlash. I think they're worried maybe about marketing backlash from companies. I don't think they're worried about the media. I mean, largely you don't have a ton of media looking for pitchforks and torches coming after Colin Kaepernick's stance. But if you believe John Mara, who says he's never gotten more fan mail about a situation than Colin Kaepernick, I think that's the worry, that you might alienate part of your ticket base, of your fan base. But the other part of this is that we do have to be realistic. There's not going to be a media circus or massive backlash for a backup quarterback because he's not playing. So I think some of that fear that teams have is kind of silly, because you're not going to spend tons of time talking about the backup quarterback. And fans aren't going to not come out to see you because of the backup quarterback. So I do think part of that is overblown. But yes, there is a risk-reward thing here. And if Colin Kaepernick was a Super Bowl-winning quarterback last year, he has a job right now. When we come back here on the show, you know, I don't go out and toot my horn and call myself some brilliant hockey mind like a John Cherry a la mode moniker that Mraz has taken on. But what I know, and when I know it, I tell you it, and I told you this was going to happen. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Twist off, I'd say about halfway down on the cupcake. Now, what you're making is an icing sandwich.
Interesting.
I never have seen this before. You're right. So, now it almost feels like lunch.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Help you choose the Superstart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
The recipes do get a little complicated, Merez.
Cupcake sandwich changed all of our lives. And I think what also changed all of our lives was the Stanley Cup Finals around here. Now, for years, we have dubbed Mraz Don Cherry a la mode. He watches pucks in November. He's locked into Islanders Devils on December the 15th. I roll my eyes. I shake my head. I go, what are you doing? We've got the NBA to care about. We've got college basketball to care about in the middle of the winter. We've got, obviously, the NFL playoffs and college football bowl season. And this guy is watching Ducks and Wild on the package in the middle of November.
In fact, if you remember, in October, there was either the World Series or an ALCS or NLCS, and it was me and James Ward back here, and there was a controversial slide at the plate. And I think we had two hockey games on here, and you opened up the door to see if we knew what was going on with the slide, and you lost your mind on us.
Lost my mind. Lost my mind.
I think my argument was, well, the game is on NBC Sports Network.
And it's just moments like that that I hope everybody realizes that I'm not playing with a full deck here. Okay, this is a real banged up rotation. Real banged up. So anyway, I do defer to Mraz for hockey takes because I don't start watching really until the postseason begins, and he's watching all season long. But this final has been a game changer, and this is where that whole pop culture phenomenon gets thrown out the window.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Because before the series began, Mraz said, Penguins are going to sweep. Penguins are way better. In fact, his comparison was, we will have the exact opposite of the NBA playoffs, the inverse happening, where we had a terrible NBA postseason, but we'll have a great finals. And he said, we've had a great Stanley Cup playoffs, but we'll have a dog of a finals, and that the Preds don't even deserve to be on the same ice, that this thing is over, that they're the worst team that came into the playoffs, the last seed, Sidney Crosby, defending Stanley Cup champions, it's over. And when the Preds lost the first two, despite arguably outplaying the Penguins in both, it had just really fallen into Mraz's lap. See, I told you. And what did I say? I said, let's just wait until they come back to Nashville. Let them come back to Nashville because Nashville is a steroid boost for them. Nashville is maybe the best home ice advantage in the entire NHL. It's over. I even had Preds fans, so-called Preds fans, like Chuck in Nashville telling me it's over. I said, you wait, you watch. And then over the weekend, they win 5-1 at home, and it's 2-1. And then yesterday on the show, Mraz has the gall to suggest Penguins in five. It doesn't matter. Penguins in five. I said, but you said Penguins in four before. Doesn't matter. Penguins in five. Then last night, wouldn't you know, Predators 4, Penguins 1.
Penguins hold it in, and the shot caroms over Arvidsson. Onto the right wing side. Yossi couldn't get it out. Neil did, and now swept in for Arvidsson. Victor Arvidsson, the breakaway, he scores! Victor Arvidsson makes it 3-1 at 13:08 in the second.
Number one, the lesson as always is, the Stanley Cup playoffs will deliver. They will always deliver. What the NBA playoffs do not in predictability, the NHL playoffs are in unpredictability. So never count teams out. Never count underdogs out. Number two, What you have is a Predators team that is feeding off one of the greatest local stories in Stanley Cup playoffs history, in hockey history. This is an expansion team named after saber-tooth tigers that came into the middle of Tennessee, honky-tonk twang country, back in 1999. And they had to teach the locals about hockey and teach everybody what icing was. And it was an empty building for a long time. And the first owner said it can't work down here and all of this. And slowly but surely, that community learned hockey. And they began to love hockey. And they began to love the Preds. And number three, what you fail to realize if you've never been down there is that Nashville is one of America's greatest cities. It is the greatest, to me, one of the greatest party cities in the entire world and certainly in this country. I'm not even a country music fan. When I went down to Nashville, every single place that I went to had live music being played, country music with a band being played, and I was into every single song, every single set. I loved it. People are going crazy. The beer is cold. The food is good. The women are beautiful, and the music is awesome. And that whole atmosphere has taken hold in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So there is just something else in that building. And you can't necessarily define it, but it's something else. And it's catfish, and it's country music, and it's energy, and it's yellow helmets, and yellow t-shirts, and yellow hankies, and it's awesome. I don't know if the Preds can play like that going back to Pittsburgh in five and or game seven. Because I kind of feel like the Preds at home are somebody that's addicted to coffee. Is that when you go and you're home on that home ice, it's like pounding that latte and you're up and you're buzzed and you're like, okay, let's do this again. Okay, I can do this. All right, give me all the work. Give me all the reports. Give me everything. I can do this. And then you get away from the coffee and that same person's like, oh boy, this is way tougher, man. This is tough. But think about it. The Preds actually played very competitive, very good hockey in the first two games, and the puck just didn't bounce their way. This is a team right now that believes, and Pekka Rinne has completely turned it on its head. Because the first two games, not good, thinking about making a goaltender change. Last two games has been outstanding. But let's just give credit where credit is due. These two fan bases, these two hockey cities are outrageously good. The crowd in Pittsburgh's been great, and that's a tremendous hockey town. And Nashville has grown into being a great hockey town. And so every game has felt important. It's felt big. It's felt exciting. It's felt awesome. I have loved to watch the spectacle of it. The only thing I say is let's throw more stuffed catfish on the ice instead of real catfish, because I like eating real catfish. And I feel like that's a lot of catfish going to waste. And I just, every time I see the real catfish, I go, boy, that's a catfish that somebody didn't get to eat. Because you know that they're not bringing that into the back and sauteing that bad boy or souffleing that bad boy. But I got to give you major creativity credit last night, Nashville, because there was a catfish on the ice with a glittery cowboy hat wrapped around it and a penguin stuck in its mouth. I mean, bonus point for creativity. That was a great game last night, a ton of excitement, and the Preds showed up just as I knew they would, and now it's 2-2 going back to Pittsburgh. What do you have to say for yourself, you chump hockey prognosticator?
Penguins in six.
First it's Penguins in four, then it's Penguins in five, now it's Penguins in six. I mean, you have lost all credibility here, all of it.
But all have one common theme. It's Penguins, Penguins, Penguins.
So what, it doesn't matter if the Penguins win in six or seven. You are already dead wrong. You said the series was over at 2-0.
All the Penguins got to do is win for me to be right.
No, that's wrong.
No, at 2-0.
You're already wrong.
But when you say the series is over at 2-0, it means, yeah, there's no way Nashville can win four of the last five, and I'm still holding to that.
No, that's not what it means. It means you said it was going to be a sweep. You said it didn't matter that they were going back to Nashville. You said this thing is over in four.
Maybe I did say that, maybe I don't. We'll have to pull the tape on that eventually. Bottom line is this, the Penguins are winning two of those last three. It's a great story. I want Nashville, a great story. Just not going to happen.
Can't wait till they just shove it right up your keister. You're just the worst. Just the absolute worst. And what we've learned now is that Don Cherry-Alamode has melted. It's soured. It is over. The hockey mind that Mraz has built his whole reputation on being is totally fraudulent. Completely 100% fraudulent.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
When we come back, Trash Tuesday, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mornings Mothership.
Hey, DA, how's it going, man? A toast to you. I'm going to have to trade in my Miller Lite for coffee.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can always download the show, listen to it on demand wherever you are, whenever you want to, by going to iTunes, search DA CBS, and full episodes of The Da. Available there. Also, you'll get the off-air show, the Permission Granted Podcast, the PGP. It has come to my attention that if you are streaming WFAN in New York online, you are hearing during commercial breaks copious amounts of a PGP promotion. We have like a 30-second promo, I think two of them that are running basically on loop right now. And that has caused a lot of people to send some very fiery hate my way on social media. I have heard from a number of listeners that said, because I've heard your stupid promo so much, I refuse to ever listen to that PGP. To which I say, thanks, I guess. At least you know that we're doing what we're doing. But if you are one of those people, I just want to apologize. I'm not in charge of the rotational percentage of that. I don't know. I'd like to back it off a little bit. They say all promotion is good promotion. In this case, I don't know. I feel like it's a little too much. It's causing people to really send a lot of hate my way, but I will personally apologize. I don't have any control over that rotational percentage. But it is time for a Trash Tuesday, boys and girls.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
Ah, the trashes are already coming in over the tweets. Daniel tweets, DA, I'm trashing Mraz for doubting the Preds and being wrong three times. In flag football, sweep in four for the Penguins, and now Pittsburgh in five. Mraz, I bet you $10 the Preds win.
You've been trashed.
Would you take that bet?
We cannot bet currency on here.
I know, but would you take it if you could?
Yes, in a heartbeat. Bet me 10 Snickers.
Josh tweets, I'm trashing myself for ever looking up to Mraz as the thictator and a man who carries emergency Pop-Tarts. Hashtag end the rain.
Taking out the trash.
Look, you're getting some brush back, and rightfully so. You deserve it.
Listen, nobody's ever gotten a prediction wrong in their life. Remember, I'm the guy again who picked the Browns to beat the Chargers.
You keep going back to that, except I actually predicted that before you did.
But I still then ended up picking it, and I was right, right?
Wrong. I actually did it before you. So, but this is interesting. People are turning on you, and understandably so.
I'll win them back. Got a long summer.
The Chubbos are up in arms. All right, so Mraz, who are you trashing?
I got to trash the creators of one of my favorite shows. It's a very sophisticated television show called Kevin Can Wait. yesterday, news broke that the creators of Kevin Can Wait have let go of co-star Erin Hayes, who played Kevin right. James's wife. I thought she did an excellent job here in season one. I thought she played off it. The problem isn't necessarily that they let her go. Like, that kind of stuff can happen after the first season of a show. The problem is they are bringing back Leah Remini,
right,
who was his wife in King of Queens.
Right.
Now, she appeared in the final two episodes of Kevin Can Wait, and she was kind of like a cop, like this badass cop. The problem I have with this is, can a show just go on its own? Basically, what we're going to do now is we're just going to make this King of Queens part two. And everybody made fun of me for watching the show and for the first season because they're saying, well, it's just
King of
Queens.
Is that what you want?
No, I liked Kevin Can Wait because it was a little different. I understood the difference between Kevin Can Wait and King of Queens, and now nobody will understand that difference, and I look like an idiot for enjoying the show because now we're just seeing the same co-stars back together.
Shockingly,
I mean, we bring in Arthur Spooner back as a father, too?
Yeah, shockingly, you'll look like an idiot. So tell me, to me, it looks like the same exact show. How is it different?
Well, it's different because Kevin James has since retired. He has an English son-in-law that's living in his garage. He has a couple buddies that hang out in a pizza place.
Generally, though, speaking, Kevin James was, in the first one, a cop, a mailman?
No. He was a almost like a UPS driver. I think it was IPS.
I said a mailman. You're like, no. A UPS guy.
It's a courier delivery service. And he lived in Queens because he was the king of Queens with
right.
his wife.
Okay.
Now he lives on Long Island, not
okay.
Queens. He's a retired cop in this show.
Okay.
And he now has kids. He didn't have kids in King of Queens. And one of the kids is getting married to a man from Britain who doesn't have a job and lives in his garage. The storylines are completely different, but
yeah.
I don't know why we're bringing Leah Remini back into this.
Yeah, so he basically moved out of Queens and moved out to Long Island.
And had kids all these years later, yes.
So basically, Kevin Can Wait is like King of Queens plus Mike and Molly.
Yeah, and I think it's a good combo.
Uh-huh.
I think it makes... I loved it. I'm very fired up now that I can watch it live and not on demand next season. And there I am. I lost Erin Hayes, who I thought was a beautiful actress and a good job.
Why'd they get rid of her?
They just said the show was going in a different direction. They left it very bleak. And I don't like that because I thought she did a very nice job. And I think she is being hamstrung because of the success of Leah Remini on King of Queens.
And so they're going to bring Leah Remini back and just be like, she's the new wife.
Well, here's the big problem, because she already appeared in the last two episodes of the first season as a retired cop.
Yeah.
Oh, no, as a current cop, and Kevin James comes out of retirement to go undercover. So now if they...
Oh, God.
If they prop her up... We don't really know what's going to happen here. They say the show's going in a different direction. Are they going to prop it up like, did Kevin James' wife die and he ends up marrying Leah Remini? Or are they just going to have her take a role and pretend that she wasn't in the last two episodes as a cop? There's a million ways to go, and it has me very confused. It's going to ruin my summer worrying about what's going to happen come the end of September.
Or she might just be the new wife, kind of like Aunt Vivian in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where they just had two different actresses, but they never said why they've got two different actresses.
I can't have that. I just want consistency. There's no reason for Erin Hayes to lose her job, and I'm very upset about that.
You're so trashy.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I am trashing egotistic wedding photographers.
Okay.
This past weekend was my cousin's wedding.
Uh-huh.
And we had a photographer who was just over the top in terms of putting us in positions and setting us up in terms of the formal pictures. But just had some attitude on her.
Attitude?
I know photography is art. I know that we're entering your domain.
Sure.
But you know what? If I'm hiring you to do a job, you're doing the job and you're taking the right pictures that I want.
Yeah, you're giving the direction.
Right, and she was giving more of the direction.
Oh.
And causing a lot of problems. And, of course, we had a glass drop right in front of her and on the dance floor, and she looks at it like she can't be bothered to help out or get someone to clean up the trash.
Oh, boy.
It was just way out of line. And I don't need to see that, especially at a wedding for my cousin. And when I'm giving the speech, I have to wait 5 minutes for them to set up their cameras.
Oh,
and
boy.
They were just out of place, and all because of the ego trip that they were on.
Hot trash.
Egotistical wedding photographers. I'm trashing bugs. I got bugs. Not bed bugs, but I got bugs. I thought I was doing a solid. My girlfriend's like, we need flowers in the apartment. We need flowers. We need some floral design. We need some color in this. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I got this. I got it. I can do it. I got a little bit of a green thumb. I grew up in the sticks. I can do this. So I go to Home Depot and I buy marigolds, these beautiful yellow little flowers. And I get a ceramic pot with it. And I get the soil with it, and I'm like, look at me. I'm doing this, man. All right. I'm like a real green thumb. I'm like that guy, Bob.
The builder?
Yeah, no. Guy that builds the houses. Bob Villa? Bob Villa?
Villa.
Villa. I'm like Bob Villa, okay? So go home, put my hands in the soil, put my fingers in there, put the flowers in there, put the water in there, put the soil in there, and they're great. And they're blooming and they look great. My girlfriend's like, you know what? You did a good job. You did a good job. And I'm thinking like, yeah, man, I did a good job. That's right. I did a good job. Well, that was like 2-3 weeks ago. Little by little, less flowers. Little by little, they're like shrinking up and shriveling up. And I'm like, what's going on? My flowers, what's going on? Maybe they need more sunlight. So I move them to a different part of the apartment. Got to get more sunlight. Maybe they need more water. Now I'm watering them every single day. They're not blooming. Then there's little buds, but they're not blooming. And I'm like, I don't get it. What is going on? My flowers are not blooming. Then I looked the other day. Got bugs. There's little itty bitty tiny teeny teensy weensy weensy bugs all in there. All in all of the flowers. And now I'm out of luck. Because these bugs, I can't get insecticide or pesticide or whatever the side is. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Now I just got bugs and I got flowers. Now I got to get rid of them. And now I look like the bozo. So I'm real frustrated about this. And I think it doesn't help that I bought them at a Home Depot in the middle of the city. That's probably not the freshest flowers you can get.
I don't think so.
I think they probably fell off a truck somewhere in Brooklyn and they just got propped up on the shelf. But I'm real bummed out because for about 2 weeks, I had the hand in the relationship because I'm like, I did that, honey. And now I got no hand. I look like the bozo. I brought the bugs in the house and she's like, yeah, now we got bugs. You got to get rid of it. And now you screwed everything up. So I'm trashing the bug.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
That's right. 855-212-4CBS is your phone number. 855-212-4227. More trashing's coming in. Joe tweeting, D.A. Merez spitting on a guy, then threatening to press charges. That's so unbelievably Bush League. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Epic trash job.
I've never heard anything like it. I really haven't. I never heard anything like it. I am so glad Mr. Six came in. Because he shed some light on the type of competitor that Meraz is. Meraz is a Draymond Green, Bill Laimbeer, Bill Romanowski mutant, where he's just got no ethics, no couth, can't be respected, can't be trusted. And I'm going to say it, Mr. Six is going to put something on that ass coming up on Sunday morning. It is going to be the Hurt Locker for you guys.
It won't be. And you just brought up something actually very near and dear to my heart, and now I'm starting to rethink this. One of the very last things, if not the last thing my grandfather said to me before dying when he was in the hospital.
Oh, boy.
Is that I had no couth.
He told you that?
He told me that. He goes, Sean, just know you have no couth.
Wow.
It was always something that stuck with me. Like, man, what did Grandpa mean by that? I really didn't understand what the word couth meant. And he passed away shortly after that.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking back, and this is like 10 years ago. Grandpa died saying I had no couth.
Why did he say that?
I don't know. I guess he always just thought I was rude. I think he loved me, but I think he thought I was rude. I don't really understand what couth meant, but that's always been an ongoing joke at family parties. Like, remember, Grandpa died saying you have no couth.
Couth is showing or having good manners or sophistication.
Well, he clearly didn't think I had that. And he died thinking that.
Oh, my God.
And told me that. It was like he had to get that message out before he passed.
Oh, my God. This is what I'm dealing with here. Outrageous.
So if you think that, and he thought that on his deathbed, then I must really not have couth.
There's no question.
The story expands more as the days go on.
Yeah, you start to learn more and more, huh? Daniel tweets, D.A., beam me up, brother. Preds are rolling, going to take the cup in Smashville in Game 6. Holy cow. Could you imagine if Nashville goes to Pittsburgh and wins Game 5, what that scene in Nashville will be for Game 6 with a chance to win the Stanley Cup at home? Holy moly. The roof would blow off. By the way, love the Carrie Underwood spot last night. I thought she was actually even better than Barkley. She was in the first intermission. Barkley was in the second intermission. Carrie Underwood's talking about playoff hockey. She's into fighting. She trusts her husband to take care of himself in a fight. I'm like, this is Carrie Underwood, man. I like that gal.
You would have thought she was an NHL analyst on that panel in between intermissions.
Yeah.
Couldn't take my eyes off her.
She's very, very good. Obviously very beautiful. Obviously very talented. I was into it. But she's watched a lot of Mike Fisher's games. I mean, she's always at those games. And I didn't know Mike Fisher's now 37 years old. Last time was his 37th birthday. He's an old man.
He is. And let's face it, he was playing up in Canada. She forced the trade to Nashville. Said, if I'm down here marrying him, you're trading him to Nashville.
And frankly, if you're Mike Fisher, you let Carrie Underwood dictate where you're going to play, right?
Yeah.
There's no question.
You get to play hockey and come home to Carrie Underwood. You let her tell you where you're going.
Wherever you want me to play, honey. Wherever you want me to play. Force that trade, baby. Force that trade. Ben tweets, what is Mraz saying now about them Preds? Has he been convinced they aren't going to roll over? Ha ha. No, he's not. Because he's got no couth like his grandpa told him. When we come back, we'll jump back into your phone calls. Also, Sonya Richards-Ross, Olympic gold medalist runner for the U.S. team, is going to join us in studio. You can watch at watchda.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.